Today on the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, I'm going to be talking about Season 3, Episode 5 of Jessica Jones, a.k.a. I Wish. All that right after this.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. My name is Matthew Carroll, and I'm alone today. This is going to be weird. This is going to be just real weird for me, particularly. I've never done a solo cast, so I'm going to give it a shot, because between me and Jeff's schedules, we honestly just could not get together on these Jessica Jones as much as quickly as we wanted to, and we had people writing us like, where are these Jessica Jones? Get them out, especially our patrons. And so I really didn't want to have to wait, and if nothing else, I wanted to drop a short solo episode to get through a few of these episodes solo, so that when we come back, we'll be further along in the series. Jeff should be able to be back with me in just a couple of episodes. But I'm here talking to you solo, just me and you, just us, just me and your ears. Okay, I feel like I got weird. Okay, let's talk about this episode. This episode was really cool. It's kind of what I've been hoping for up till now, in that we finally got our three main characters that me and Jeff have been like bouncing around saying they're kind of three aspects of a hero. Self-care, sort of cynicism and practicality, and optimism and altruism in Trish. So these three characters, they finally come together. We finally see them. Actually, I don't even think we see all three of them on the same screen at the same time, but we see them all working on the same case for the first time. And it was really great to see these characters all show up for Jessica. Or for this case, they all come together. And Jessica even says to Malcolm, which I was surprised by her, plea to him. She says, I got a case. It's an important one. And she says, it may even be a heroic one. And it's interesting to me that she appeals to Malcolm's heroism, kind of knowing where he is right now. He's been very mercenary in all his decisions. He has been presenting the case for, you know, what he's doing and just saying like, yeah, it's what I have to do right now. And I'm not going to help you unless I get paid. And even in this case, she gives him a bag of money, blood covered money. So that's a whole different issue. I don't know how you spend blood covered money. If anybody has any tips for me, I have a couple of bags that I'm trying to get rid of. All right. I feel like I got weird again. It's weird to make jokes when no one's here to laugh. You know what I mean? It's strange. It kind of changes the tenor of the conversation because I feel like I make a joke and there's no Jeff or Dave or Matthew West Fox to laugh with me. Can laughing at my own jokes isn't funny. It's weird. Okay, back to Jessica Jones. So let's go through some of the stuff that happened this episode. Like I said, that we start the episode with Trish and Jessica finally coming together on a case, but obviously not respecting each other. Well, Trish not respecting Jess's choices, Jess not respecting Trish's abilities. And I really loved what Jess said. Trish says something to the effect of, you can't stand the thought that I know what I'm doing. And Jess's response is, because you're never wrong, are you? And I loved that, because someone who knows what they're doing, someone who, there's a classic phrase that says, the more you know, the more you know you don't know. That I'm probably bastardizing that, but it's basically the more you know, the smarter people are, the more they know that they don't know everything. And I thought that was incredibly insightful things. Like, Jess knows that Trish is always right, and Jess never thinks she's right. And that sort of cynicism, as we've said, keeps her kind of on the straight and narrow, whereas Trish is kind of going in guns a-blazin' and causing all kinds of chaos, and she does a few things this episode. by going in, against Jess's orders. It doesn't really end up causing anything bad, but it also doesn't, she finds the pictures, but the pictures are inadmissible. So what's the point? Up until the very end of this episode, I was still really torn as to whether Eric was going to be in league with, Salinger is his name. Even that scene, they did a really weird aesthetic choice when they do the flashback of Eric meeting Salinger on the street, and they showed that Salinger was there threatening Eric. And I was like, wait, is he? Is that what's going on? Because they shot it in a way, they kind of blurred the edges as if it was a memory of Eric, or maybe a way Eric was describing the memory. And that made me think, wait, is this from Eric's perspective? Are we seeing what actually happened? Or are we seeing what he's telling Jessica? And even in the last moments when Salinger, spoiler alert, when Salinger takes Eric down at the end of the episode, he still checks his pulse, taps his heart, and the way he does it, it felt very familiar. I think it's just him taking pride in his work and him making sure he's not killing him because he has more plans for Eric. But I still, there's this little creeping thought in the back of my mind that maybe Eric and Salinger are working together. I've been mistrustful of Eric from the very first episode. And so when it looked for a second like he was working with Salinger, I was like, of course he is, this asshole. I like Eric, and I think partially what makes me mistrust him even more is how well he's clicking with Jessica. They have sex in this episode, and their little post sex conversation is so, what's the words? It's so nice. Their post sex banter is really, really nice. I know I acted like I had a better word and then I just said nice, but it is, it's really nice. It's funny. He's funny. He makes Jessica smile. I loved his line about when I, make a woman, happy, it's kind of the opposite of a headache for me. I don't know if that's true. That's actually part of his power, or that's just a line, but I liked it regardless. It's a good line if it was a line. Hogarth is walking a line of being just awful. I don't know. Hogarth is still trying. The beginning of this episode, she seemed to be showing genuine regret. Like, they're still giving, Carrie Ann Moss is giving the character such humanity for how awful she is. I don't know if a lesser actor could have given the performance a better spin, because you still feel like she has humanity, even though it's clear that this is all her fault. And what I think crosses a line is when she, even though you see that at the beginning of the episode, that she like seems to have some real regret, and she seems to really hate that she's causing Kif all this pain, she is still willing to completely fake herself when she calls Kif later in the episode. That is not Jerry. There's nothing Jerry in all those statements. She's like, I just heard. She turns into, she starts acting. And all Kif responds is, stay away from me. And I think it's because Kif sees through, she knows that's not Jerry. She knows that's not the person she knows. And the tape of her husband committing suicide was very upsetting, and it was insane. And it's really uncomfortable even now thinking about it. I really, really disliked that scene. It's Jerry's fault. This is the second time Jerry has convinced other characters to commit suicide. Last season, she convinced that woman to commit murder suicide with her husband. And then this season, she's convinced Kif's husband to commit suicide because of what he did. And is it just not, there's no moral gray area anymore. It's not like, even though I understand Jerry, I still care about her humanity because she's being played to perfection. She is a villain, and I don't know where they're going with that. I don't know how that storyline will tie into the Jessica storyline, because there's a point where you can put up with someone who's morally gray or even morally just selfish, but Jerry has crossed a line where she is actively killing others who really... He had his secrets, and in Jerry and in Jessica's moral like universe, they believe everyone has their secrets. Everyone has things that they've done wrong, and they all have things that if they dig deep enough, they're going to uncover. So that's not a shocker in this show. that he had something he had done wrong, but it's he wasn't actively harming. Definitely wasn't actively harming Jerry, and it was kind of like she had no right to cross this line, to go after him. It was purely for something she wanted. She is the offending party here. I really liked, this is a silly thing to like so much, but I really liked Jessica throwing the sister on the bed over and over. It was so cartoonish, using her superpowers to throw a human being across the room onto a mattress. Just really good. Just really, really good. Let's see. We talked about it last episode, me and Jeff, but we talked about, I'd love to see what Eric has to say about Malcolm. And Eric says he gives him a 3 of 10 headache. So Malcolm is on the scale. And I'm still really wanting to know what kind of headache he'll get with Hogarth. I almost feel like that will be, oftentimes these Netflix seasons are divided into two separate sort of sections. And we've talked about how Jerry could be the villain of the series. Like, she could be the final villain for this season and therefore the series, since it looks like it's been canceled for good, possibly. And if that's the case, I could absolutely see a world where they deal with Salinger. Eric is kind of involved with the whole thing. One of the last interactions we see with Eric is him meeting Hogarth for the first time and like his brain exploding. that's over. That's overkill. I'm sure his brain won't explode, but I think whenever he meets Hogarth, we're going to get a big headache. Now, Hogarth is probably not as evil as Salinger, so I'm assuming he won't have his head explode. That was just more a joke than anything. I really liked that the secretary, I don't know her name yet, I loved that her and Trish got along so well. And Jessica's line of, great, you guys are a team. Great. That was a lot of fun. Just a lot of really fun stuff. And then there's really just the heart of this episode, which I guess I kind of saved to the end here. The heart of the episode is the relationship between Jess and Trish. The episode is called AKA I Wish. And it's about her wishing she hadn't killed her mother. Finally, so many times we have relationships that are being pushed away by an event or by a difference of opinion. Sometimes you just come to those places where you have a serious difference of opinion with someone and you can't resolve it. And sometimes you just have to take baby steps towards each other. And in this case, it was Trish saving Jessica's life, choosing to save Jessica's life. And Jessica says, she says, he got away. Trish says, he got away. And Jessica says, yeah, but I get to keep on breathing. And she just turns to her and says, thanks. And that thanks means everything to Trish, because Trish, all she wanted was a little bit of acknowledgement from Jess. And then Trish breaks down because they both had their walls up because they were getting nothing back from the other person. And then Trish breaks down and says, I wish I hadn't killed your mother. And that allows them to finally kind of come to terms with the issue that they've had with each other this whole season. And I'm glad to see sort of a realistic representation of that kind of pain and loss and a difference of opinion and people being prideful. I really enjoyed that portrayal. I don't think it's over. I hope it's not over. If it's just over, they never mention it again, it will be disappointing. I think it's now going to be a part of their relationship going forward. But yeah, really, really moving, honestly. Them finally coming to terms with the problems that they've had and the difficulties coming together. But they're doing it. It looks like they're doing it. They're going to come together. They're going to work together and work this new case together and everything. So and not just the case, but actually possibly be family again, the secretary, for the first time really getting involved in Jessica's life, says, I'm tired of seeing people lose family. Work it out. And they did. Well, this has been an interesting experiment. Let me know what you thought of this, because honestly, that was the most nervous I've ever been doing a podcast. I've gotten pretty comfortable chatting with a friend on pretty much all of my podcasts, but doing a solo one, I've just never done it before, and it was... I'm sitting here, like, kind of heart beating fast, kind of nervous. This was fun, but kind of intense for me. So if you liked this, if this is something that you're okay with happening every once in a while, when we just can't get together, let us know. Let us know what you thought. We are the Marvel Cinematic Universe Podcast. I guess today I am the Marvel Cinematic Universe Podcast. We're at MCUcast.com, at MCUcast on Twitter, Facebook.com/MCUcast, MCUcast all over the interwebs. And if you want to reach out to us there, please do. We'll probably do a Jessica Jones feedbacky type cast real soon. If you want to hear anything else from me, I have the Star Trek Universe podcast. We just dropped a new episode last night, and the Orville Universe podcast will be launching this week. So I know I've been mentioning it, but it's actually going to be on the internet within the next couple days. I've checked those out, and if you want to hear where my real passion lies, my heart, check out my music. Search for Matthew Carroll on whatever music service you use, Spotify, Apple, Google, all those places. So peace. Until next time, true believers.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino. With cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.